Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to ensure that you may receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself said that they are spirit, but they are life. Words to guarantee that you can get everlasting life. Today's a very special day. As I always say to you, because this also is the day that the Lord has made, a very, very special day, and He made this day with you in mind. And I'm hoping, as you can notice, I'm in a different location. I'm at another church, and it is called the Metropolitan Church of God, and I am doing these videos from here at home, Metropolitan Church of God. It's a new post that they have assigned me, and thank God, now this is our new church facilities. So welcome again, not just to Leading Words, but welcome to the sanctuary of the Metropolitan Church of God. God richly bless you as we study His word today. God bless you. I want you to read with me in the book of Exodus. God spoke to Moses, and God gave to Moses a word for him to extend it out to the children of Israel. And in Exodus chapter 3, listen to what he said from verse 7. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people. And then he continued to say, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. This is God speaking to Moses. And he's saying to Moses, tell them that I know their affliction. I've seen their sorrows. I've heard the cry. God is saying to Moses, let them know that I, God, I am aware of their conditions. But then he continued to say in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Look what he's saying. I know the cry. I know the affliction. I've heard them, and I've seen their conditions. And because I know, God wants us to understand that He is not a God that knows things but does nothing about it. He said, tell them that I know their condition, and I know what's going on. I can see the hurts. I can see the vicissitudes that are surrounding and squeezing them. But tell them that because I know and I've heard the cry, look at verse 8, he said, tell them that I'm coming down. I'm come down to deliver them from the hands of the Egyptian. And then what else? To bring them up out of the hands, out of that land, and to give them a good land, which is large, and a land that will flow with milk and honey, unto the place. But right now, the place is in the hands of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And those last words created a problem for Moses and all the children of Israel. Remember, Exodus chapter 3, God is speaking to Moses. I said, tell the children of Israel that I know their conditions, and I've heard their cry. I know their suffering. I've seen the hurt, and I've seen their affliction, not just hurt, but their affliction also. And he said to Moses, he said, tell the children of Israel that I know everything about them, but I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and also to put them into the land. The land. What land? You see, God had made a promise, and he made a covenant with the children of Israel, but not directly with them. He made the covenant and made a deal, not directly with them, but with their forefathers. God had called a man by the name of Abraham. And God said to Abraham, if you will leave that land where you are living, if you will run away and get out of that mess that you are living in with the Chaldeans, he said, if you will leave and forsake all of that and come and follow me unto a land, he said, I will give you a land better than what you have right now, and at the same time I will give you or make out of you a great nation. I will develop you to such a degree that you will become the father of many nations. Not just one big nation, but you also will be the father of many other nations. But you have to leave all of that and follow after me, and I will give you a good land, a land that will flow milk and honey. And I will make out of you a great nation. And your life will affect so many people that other nations are going to come out of you. That's the promise that God gave to Abraham. Well, guess what? Abraham obeyed God and followed God, but never got to the land. And then Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. And Isaac, God reaffirmed the same promise also unto Isaac. And Isaac lived 40, 50, 60 years and 70 years. And Isaac began to get older and have children. Never got the land. And then Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau and Jacob, however you want to put it up. And they live and so forth. And Jacob never got the land. They went in to live in Egypt. Jacob and his sons, 12 sons, and his one daughter, and the grandchildren, and so forth, and their spouses. And they live in Egypt. And then Jacob died. And all his 12 sons died. They all got older, but they all died. They never saw the land. Or at least they never got the land. They walk over it, came over, look at it from far, but they never possessed that land. Now they're in Egypt, and they're living in Egypt for 430 years. Now look at that. God made the promise to Abraham, pass it on to Isaac, pass it on to Jacob. Jacob passed it to his 12 sons. The 12 sons pass it to the grandchildren and great-grandchildren and the posterity. And they never get the land. And now God is saying to Moses, this is over 400 or 500 years later, God is saying to Moses, tell them that my promises, they are always, if they are in Christ, they are yes and amen. Tell them that my promises have no expiration date. And what God is trying to say is that I know that I made a promise for you. And I know that when I make a promise, it's going to be fulfilled, because I am the Lord your God. And anything I said, not one jot, not one tittle shall pass of it. If I tell you, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to your posterity and your children, even if it have to take a million years, if I promise it, you're going to have it. And that's what God did. He made the promise, and when he thought the time was perfect, then he came to Moses and he said, go and tell them that I am come down now. I am here. I am coming down now to give you the land, to give you the land, and to take you out of the bondage of the Egyptians. So I am come down to fulfill the promise that I made to Abraham, your forefather, and to Isaac, and unto Jacob, and unto you. I want you to know this. Sometimes when God makes these promises, we ask ourselves lots of questions. Well, if God promised me, what's taking so long? And that's the truth. It baffles us sometimes. Why God takes so long? Hey, he promised me a wife, and then he takes like 40 years, and I'm getting older, and then that's when he sent the wife. Or he promised me a husband, and then time is running and running and running, and then later on, then he sent this husband. Or he promised to save my children, and then my kids are getting older and older and older, and they're still not saved yet. And then when they're very old, then that's when. And then sometimes you ask yourself, why God takes so long? Well, I have an answer. I have an answer. We don't know everything. God controls his own self. We don't control God. But I have an answer. That sometimes when it looks as if God is taking long, he is taking long. But what's prompting him to take so long? Why is he taking this long? I want you to read with me in Psalms 105. Psalms 105, and I want you to look with me at verses 44 and 45. Look what he's saying, and this is God speaking, but you can even read from verse 43. He gives us the answer. He tells us exactly why it takes long sometimes. Not that he forgot. Not that his hands are too short. Not that God having problems fulfilling his promises. God have no problem fulfilling his promises. God is God. And God doesn't even need help to fulfill a promise. When God says something, it will come to pass. And if God have to create something to fulfill that promise, he will stand right there and create it. But why it takes long sometimes? Read with me Psalm 105 verse 43 on. Look what it says in verse 43. And he brought forth his people, speaking about the children of Israel, he brought forth his people, but he brought them forth with joy. Remember, look what he said. He said, I am come down. This is in Exodus chapter 3. I am come down to give you the land. But when he finished saying, I'm come down to give you the land, he told them, but right now, the land is being occupied by the Amorites, by the Perizzites, by the Hivites, by the Hittites, by the Jebusites. He mentioned a whole bunch of names of groups of people that are living in the land. And of course, the children of Israel asked themselves the question. They said, well, if God promised me this land, it take over 400 or 500 years to fulfill the promise. Yet still the day that he came down to give us the land, he's saying to us that somebody is in the land. So he promised the land, it take about half a millennium to bring us to the land, and the day that he come down to fulfill the promise, he said, oh, but somebody's on the land. And not even one person, but over six different groups, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, all these people are in the land. How you gonna give me a land with milk and honey, but then you have other people in the land that you promised me? And you take so long to give it to me, but other people are there. Psalms 105, 43, look what it says. The day that he gave them the land, the Bible says, he brought them forth with joy, and his chosen, they came forth with gladness. And he gave them, the Bible says, he gave them the land of the heathen. You see, he gave them, he fulfilled his promise. He gave them the land. Which land? The land where the heathen were possessed, had possessed. But why were those folks there? Look what he says. He gave them the land, and they inherited the labor of the people. That's the best thing you could ever read in the Psalms, or one of the best things. Look what happened. God promised them the land, but he didn't give it to them immediately. It took almost more than 500 years before they got the land. But you know what was happening? In those 500 years, there were a group of people living in that land called Hivites, Hittites, Jebusites, Perizzites, Amorites, all of those guys living in that land. What were they doing in that land? The Bible said, I'm going to give you the land, but I'm going to give you also their labor. Their labor. You know what they were doing in the land? They were working the land. They were cleaning the land. They were pruning the land. They were cultivating the land. Oh, they were working this thing. They were fixing and planting and sowing in the land. You know why? Because when God promised to give you something, He doesn't just give you the something. He give you the something ready and accommodated for you to make sure that when you get there, you are going to be hungry. Well, somebody is planting trees there. So when you get there, food will be there. Somebody is building a house there. So when you get there, you will have where to live. Somebody's taking care of the buildings there. So when you get there, you will have a place to rest. Somebody's fertilizing the land, mowing and plowing and pruning and fixing. Somebody is preparing with their own labor. So God promise is not just to give you the land. I'm going to give you the land, but I'm going to give you on top of the land, I'm going to give you your labor. So somebody is paying off that house for you. Oh yes. Somebody's making payment on that other car that God promised you. Somebody's taking care of it. Somebody's fixing the windows. Somebody's accommodating the foundation. Somebody's fixing the doors. Somebody, God have somebody laboring for you. And that's what's taking long. It's taking long because your place is not ready yet. And that's the thing that is hard for us to understand. That sometimes the reason that God takes long is because He has somebody laboring, doing some things, fixing some things, digging some wells. So when you get on the land, you will have water. Somebody digging and fixing canals. So when you get on the land, you will have irrigation. Somebody is planting, fixing food. Somebody's even rearing up cows and cattle and sheep and lambs. Somebody is laboring. So when you get there, God will not only give you the land, but you will also, as Psalms 105 say, you will inherit the labor also. God have a promise for you, and it might look as if He's taking long, and the truth is indeed He may be taking long. But there is a reason your place is not ready yet. But while He's getting it ready, you might be feeling the squeeze, and you might be feeling the anguish and the desperation, and sometimes even despair, and you become even despondent. I want you to know that the only reason is taking time because it's not ready yet. But as soon as that place is ready, God is saying, I will come down and pull you out of that condition and then take you into that land that I promise you. And I will not only give you the land, I will give you the land, and I will also give you the labor. The labor. Somebody's laboring some things for you. God is using somebody to pay off some things for you. God is using a few people to plan, to set up some things. So when you get where He wants you to be, you will have everything, milk and honey, and you will have His blessings. So today, if you hear His word, be encouraged. He knows your pain. He knows your hurts. He even knows your tears. And He said, and I can hear your cry. God loves you. Jesus Christ came as a guarantor of the promises of God. And you know what Jesus saying, and what the apostles say about Jesus? They said, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and they are amen. It means they have no expiration date. And is God going to change His mind? No. They are yes and amen. If God said, I'm going to heal you, yes and amen. If God said, I'm going to give you children, yes and amen. God said, I'm going to save you, yes and amen. Amen means let it be so. Yes. it's going to be so. If it's in Jesus Christ. For you to take advantage of these promises, you need also to be in Christ. Because in Christ, you have that guarantee that God is going to look out for you. So today, receive Christ. And those promises that God made, you will be able to enjoy also. So God bless you. God richly, richly bless you. Until we meet again, remember, leading words, words that God Himself separated to ensure that you can receive everlasting life. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you.